Well, incidentally, I should mention that we have on experimental basis the audio recordings on the course website available. I'm not quite sure how they will work, but we are trying it and see. Hopefully that they will be of some use. But that's an experiment we are trying this semester. So we will see how it works. The one thing about these files is that the files are rather large. So they are in MP3, so they are fairly efficient in terms of encoding, but still for the whole lecture, so they are relatively large files. So how many of you have high-speed internet? Okay, if you have high-speed internet, probably might work if you try it. But of course, you don't have to listen to them, but they are available in case you want to hear them. So we are looking at the MIPS instruction set. Sometimes we abbreviate that as instruction set architecture. Now, instruction set architecture actually refers to basically, I guess, what an assembly or machine language programmer would view. The hardware architecture internally, hardware implementation, could be different. So, for example, you have many different versions of Pentium chips, and if you have a program compiled for Pentium processor, it should work with any of the chips. But internally, these chips could be implemented differently. And for example, so if you have the AMD chips versus the Intel chips, then of course the AMD people are not allowed by law to steal Intel's design. So, they can take the instruction set architecture, so they take the instruction set architecture and then they implement it independently without looking at how Intel has done it, because if they copy Intel's design, that would be stealing. But it is legal to take the instruction set architecture and implement it independently. So we are looking at instruction set architecture right now. And now, as I was mentioning, it is a RISC processor. That is how it got started, reduced instruction set computer. So instructions are fixed length. (32 bits). And only a few formats. We are going to look at instruction set formats. So we'll talk about the three formats used by the MIPS instructions. Now, when we say MIPS, we will generally mean the subset of MIPS that we are going to look at. Because if you look at full MIPS, then there's more. And so having fixed length instructions, that simplifies the design of instruction fetch and decode. Although sometimes the instruction may not be completely efficient. Now, one very important feature of a RISC machine is an architecture which is a load store architecture. And by that we mean, if you want to, you have the processor and you have the main memory. If you want to work on an operand which is in the main memory, you have to load it, work on it, and then store it. So within a single instruction, you cannot operate on something in memory. So to do something in memory, you have to do load or store. You can do register to register things immediately. For example, if you want to add two numbers, you can add one number in one register, one number in another register, that is allowed. But you cannot add one number in a register and one number in main memory, that is not allowed. So it allows for a fast implementation. So as a result, the instructions are very simple, and simple instructions can be implemented in a way that can make the implementation fast. They are easy to pipeline. Now we will later talk about pipelining. Basically, the idea is that several instructions are active at the same time, and they are in different phases of execution. And that is referred to as pipelining. So this is a way of implementing parallelism. Now there are some disadvantages. If your instructions are simple, you might need more instructions. To do the same thing, compared with a CISC processor, because in a CISC processor you can encode an operation which can do something complex. You have a limited number of addressing modes. We will talk about the addressing modes we have. And very few complex arithmetic instructions. Now this is actually how they got started. And as I was, so this is how RISC is generally defined. So fixed length is a characteristic of RISC. Load store architecture is a RISC. Limited number of addressing modes, that is a defining attribute of RISC. However, as time progressed, they figured out that you can combine some features of RISC and CISC and have some nice implementation. So you have some complex instructions. Now in recent years, there has been a need to support media-related operations, graphics, sound, and so on. So they have added extensions of the instruction set. Most of the processors, and so on. So they are typically added because those are things that are commonly encountered. But if the MIPS version that we will see, it doesn't have any of the complex instructions. Now, before we look at the instruction set, let us see how an instruction is processed. So right now we are going to look at a very quick overview, and later we will, we are actually going to design the whole thing in hardware. So we are going to look at it in more detail. Now the MIPS processor, the design that we will have, we will assume that we have a instruction memory. So here we have the instruction memory. So in our design, preliminary design, you will assume that instruction memory is separate from data memory. Although in, that is actually a deviation from the traditional what they call von Neumann architecture. Because von Neumann, when he came up with his architecture, he suggested the idea that you can have the same memory, and the same memory you can have instructions and data. But in the simple design, hardware design that we will look at, we will assume that instruction memory is separate from data memory. So here we will have the data memory. And then here we have a register array. So here we have the registers. And here we have the arithmetic logic unit. Now, arithmetic logic unit is the unit that performs the arithmetic and logic operations. So basically an arithmetic logic unit is a large combinational circuit that can do, for example, take this number and perform an addition or perform a subtraction. And we are going to have a separate data memory. Now this is a simplified diagram. It doesn't have all the details in there. And we have a program counter. Now everyone remembers what the program counter? Program counter is the register that points to the next instruction that will be fetched and executed. So this is where instructions are. So this is from where instructions will be fetched, and they will come out here. And here we will have the instructions come out. And now we will assume, now MIPS is a three register machine. So you can do an addition which can involve register A, register B, and you can add the result and put the result in register C. So you need to be able to address three different registers. So here you have the three registers, a capability to address three registers. Let me do it this way. So here you have a register, here and here we have a register. And so you can address three registers at a time. Now the instruction that comes out, now instructions are 32 bits. And if you have an instruction which says add this register, put the result in this register, so the instruction will provide the information about what these registers are. And it will specify what operations we want to do. So there would be some control logic here that later we are going to look at in some detail. So control logic looks at the operation code of the instruction, and it decides what operation needs to be done. And it will generate the control signals to activate the operations needed. And the instruction will also sometimes supply one of the things that need to be involved in the addition. Now you write into here we have the addresses, and here we have the data. Now we are assuming instruction memory is a read-only memory, so we are not putting any data there.
But the data memory, we need to be able to write data, and we need to be able to move data from the data memory to the array of registers. So this is the data out, and you can move things into the registers. So notice here that typically in a processor, program counter is in the processor. These are parts of the processor. The memory usually is outside of the processor. Although in this diagram, they are kind of interspersed. So you have these, coming back to instruction processing, let's look at the phases of instruction processing. Oh, incidentally, we will put the first lab assignment on the web this afternoon. So later this afternoon, we will put, and this lab assignment is going to involve using the circuit simulation package, which is Logisim. Has anyone tried that yet?
It works quite nicely.
But you still need to allow enough time to get familiar with it, if you haven't used anything like that before. So make sure you allow enough time. So in the beginning, you need to fetch an instruction. So that part is instruction fetch. Okay. So basically, that means use the program counter to address a memory location, and from there get the instruction out, and that is instruction fetch. And next thing is instruction decode. Now here, basically, the control logic looks at the instruction and it decides what this instruction is, and it will decide how it will go ahead and implement that instruction by generating. This is going to generate some control signals, and these control signals will control the flow of information in the rest of the processor. And now in many cases, you need to read the source operand. Now the source operand would sometimes come from here. Source operand or operands. And after you have gotten the operand, you will perform some operation. You will do the execution. And let us assume that you are trying to add contents of two registers. Then you will perform the addition, and the result would be available here. Let me add one more data path here so that you can put it back. And after you have executed the instruction, you need to write the destination operand. So let us say we have the result of addition of two registers available. Now in some cases, what you want to do is to put it into the destination register. And That will basically take care of instruction processing. Now it turns out that different instructions may require different amount of time to finish the operation. We are going to look at that later in more detail.